popping. We're in the DealsInTheD.com studios for the, well, this is a best of, sorry. Yeah, sorry, not sorry.
There's an immense amount of guilt, though. I don't know why.
I don't either. I'm actually tired of the best of because it seems like you want a day off and then you got to deal with the best of. Bleep.
Oh, I know. I just feel guilty,
you
though.
You guys suck!
Not being on, I feel guilty.
It's a mental health day.
Got to get over that.
Yeah, this isn't Oregon.
Kids in Oregon are taking 15 mental health days, and we feel bad taking a day or two off.
Good one,
Brian. I should mention Scott Kunith of Coldwell Banker, Weir Manual. See what your home is worth, or if you need help finding your new one, or if you want to list your house, call Scott, 248-797-7746. I'm getting great reviews for Scott, I have to say. He sent them to me. I should rag him for sending his great reviews, but I won't.
That's kind of weird, but I'm happy for him.
I wouldn't know otherwise.
I thank him for his service.
248-797-7746. You can text Scott Kunith, too. He's the rising star at Coldwell Banker, Weir Manual, or you can email him at skunath at CBWM, SKUNNATH at CBWM.
Realtor. Oh, I love that person.
Realtor Scott Kunith. We love Scott, too. And people are having a good time listing and selling their homes with them, too, because people are getting a good price. I guess real estate market's pretty good.
Is it?
I gather.
I hope
that's
so.
What I gather.
Good.
He's getting over his list price.
That's good for the economy as a whole. That house next to me finally sold. It's very thrilled. It's a weird sort of anticipation, though. Like, who's it going to be? What's going to happen?
What do you know the new neighbor yet?
No, I have no idea.
Okay. Hmm.
It might be someone who's flipping it, which I was like, cool.
Oh, well, that'll raise the value.
That's exactly
bring
what
the
I
comp
said.
Right up.
Someone else in the house is like, yeah, but won't there be a bunch of construction?
So what?
That's okay. It is nice. I mean, the house has been on the market.
Not working all night.
Been on the market for a long time. It is nice not having anybody next to you.
Yeah.
Very nice neighborhood to a piece of shit.
Yeah, you can end up with a 3-foot front lawn, though.
Yeah, that's
nobody's
true.
There.
That's true.
Mesa Tacos and Tequilas in Royal Oak. Great time this weekend. Check it out with some nice weather. Happy hour 3 to 6, Monday through Friday. And if you're thirsty, Mesa Tacos and Tequilas happy hour offers $4 fresh squeeze traditional margaritas, $3 house wines, $2 well drinks, $1 rotating draft beers, and it costs all the great food, including tacos Americanos, $2. Party your butt off at Mesa Tacos and Tequilas, famous happy hour. See you there. And of course, they got all those tequilas, 150 tequilas.
That sounds delicious.
God, I could go for
very
some.
Few would have that many tequilas. In fact, no one in the state, last I knew anyway.
And they never will.
No. You know, yesterday, talking about the comedians, you know, and all this attack on Gina Hashem, which, I don't know, so many things just feel wrong right now. It's frustrating. I forgot to get this one out during the week that Pete Davidson, a lot of people said, oh, my God, I can't believe you said that, because he said somebody should slam my mom.
Oh, God, gross.
Hi, Mommy.
He also said someone needs to get up in that, get that lady off my back.
What's up, Silver Fox?
And I was like, you know, say whatever you want about your mom, but what kills me about him is he's literally dissolves
soft.
Into tears when someone else says something he doesn't like.
Well, I wonder if you said, hey, I just got a lip in your mom, if that would...
Oh, he'd be depressed. He'd want to be off the earth. Yeah. He would.
Gray round and ready to pound.
Wait, is it because you're stealing his joke?
I don't know. He's such a baby.
It's a one-way street with him, yeah.
That whole thing where he just left that house full of people who were there to see him because he didn't like the intro?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, but you know what? He got his comeuppance with that because that owner ripped him a new one.
Yeah, and it's all working for him. He's getting movie jobs, and you know, I'm sure he'll
be fine.
Huge on Saturday Night Live, so I just don't understand what's going on. Yeah. That's another one where...
It's just a weird thing to say about your mom.
And you also have a quote-unquote comedian who just, you know, cries like a baby over a little joke.
Yeah.
And then makes the most outrageous jokes himself.
I know. They're supposed to have the thickest of skin.
I know. It's really odd. Oh, well. Also, Brandon had sent this in prep during the week that Miley Cyrus was right.
What?
And, yeah.
With what?
There was a...
She wins again.
Yeah, there was a...
Oh, is this about having kids because the environment's so terrible?
Yeah, this philosophy group was saying that they put something out, some literature, that it is immoral to have children now.
Oh, okay. Well, then nobody have children
They
anymore.
Didn't ask to be put on this earth, and you're putting them on this earth that is so horrible.
It's called Mother Nature.
It's immoral to have children.
Any sense.
I know.
I wasn't asked to be put on this earth, but man, I'm so glad someone got all up in my mom.
Oh, that's nice. Oh, I hope she's not listening today. Jesus.
I'm glad I'm alive. What are you guys talking about? I'm happy.
I also wanted to mention a couple of... I'm just going to get... I need to get
please
away from
do.
That.
Please do. I already regret it.
There was an email or two that I really liked. We get a lot of great email. I thank you for sending all the links, by the way.
By the way, that's past tense, not now.
This guy had... He was enjoying the cops feature, which seems to be a popular feature. People love cops.
Is this Craig's email?
Yeah, it's a great email.
I was in tears before the show laughing at this email. Because he included all the still photos.
Yeah, he took pictures, and he says he's fixated on the crazy shit in their house. And looking back at this video, it still reminds me of the old what's not right in this picture thing from grade school. Two vacuums.
Yeah. Two vacuums.
One vacuum is overkill for this place, never been used. TV on the floor, probably broken.
Yep.
I didn't even notice the TV on the floor or the vacuums.
Yes.
And then the sign above the sink, it says bistro, and it's like, that's one bistro I'll never be in.
And just to the right, there's like a little table that has all this speakers on all these speakers.
Yeah, giant speakers.
Yeah.
Was this 1976?
The next picture is my absolute favorite. I never even noticed this when we were watching.
The rope?
The rope.
The rope on a coffee, coffee table, in
this
quotes.
Big-ass rope that someone sort of, you know, gathered up. And just put it on the coffee table.
Yeah.
And then PVC lawn furniture.
He had an earlier email, too, which shows that Craig has spent a lot of time on this.
And I'm sorry I didn't, because he made some great observations.
But he noticed that next to their bed, once again put in quotes, is a spray bottle of roach killer. And he writes, why bother?
Get out of my trailer. I want you out.
He nailed it. That was really funny.
That comforter she was underneath, I was like, I can't imagine many chicks would want to be underneath that comforter.
With the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
Towel window treatment.
Towel curtains.
What a dump. Just condemn that place.
That was so bad.
you ain't dead.
And then let's see. Let me find this one. Oh, okay. You know, on the mental health days, Nicholas says, I live in Portland now, grew up in Warren, live in Chicago, live in Virginia. Mental health days and gas pumping are just the tip of the iceberg here. This is the most medicated state in the U.S., so people suck at driving, are pretty disconnected and borderline rude, slow as fuck getting anything done, food, groceries, coffee. And then he works at a pretty large company there. And he just wonders what he's doing around there. Shooting a shot for someone born in 80. I think baby boomers started the raising of soft children. I see a ton of people my age or a little under that are the softest ever. So if Brandon is getting ragged, so should you. Mark and I are fine because we don't care. Anyway, thanks for laughs.
Oh, yeah, because we're so fucking badass being Gen X and everything like that. We don't care about anything.
We're not badass.
The theme song is Nevermind. You know?
Just understand it.
Yeah. Fucking
sorry, can't understand it.
Go back to the 90s!
There are a lot of people talking about Portland and Oregon just how nuts it is there. Some things I read about California, I keep thinking, God, I think I would like California. I'm not so sure all the time. I guess you'd have to live with some brutal things.
There's three places I've been I don't ever want to live at. California is one of them. Texas is another. And Florida. I have no desire to live in any of those states.
The California school system, all they teach you about is that we came from chimpanzees. It's about sharing.
Yeah, I think I concur with those. Let me think about that. I should mention Gabar and the gang at Zotford and Holly are smack dab in the middle of their Hurry Up and Save sales event. You probably heard you can save 20% off sticker during the sale, and we want to keep you guys rolling into Zotford because it's a great time to buy a car and lease it. You get 0% financing for 60 months and over $14,000 off a new 19 Ford Explorer XLT. That's almost 30% off sticker, or lease it now as low as $71 a month. How about 0% financing for 72 months or nearly $14,000 off a new Ford F-150 Super Crew 4x4? That, too, is almost 30% off sticker. or at least at as low as $99 a month. We all know Zot Ford is a spot for all automotive deals that are hot, so go see Anthony, the real sales manager, or any member of the hottest sales staff in Oakland County before the Hurry Up and Save Sale event passes you by. So there you go, Zot Ford. And Hall Financial, the top mortgage company in Michigan for client service, big supporters of our show. David Hall and Hall Financial, the go-to team if you're looking to purchase or refi. Lower payments, better options, more personal attention, and they will hold your hand start to finish. As Scott Kunath has mentioned, first-time buyers, they do a great, great job, and we get so many great letters, emails about Hall Financial and how quickly they do it. The industry average 44 days. They average 19 days. Go to drewandmike.hallfg.com. You won't be disappointed. Or you can call 248-308-5000 or click the link on our website, Drew and Mike Show. Fill out the online form. They'll get back to you fast, and you can hopefully start saving money in 19 days. And NMLS number 1467435. And
I love saving money.
Let's see. What is on the program today?
There's a list over there.
Hang on. Did I get the list? I probably did. Right, yeah, there we go. Okay.
Yeah, well, it starts with some sad news.
Oh, yeah.
Some breaking sad news that we just found out about.
Okay, I'm going to have to hold on to that. There's been an obituary related to the show. My swag bag from the McCartney show made it.
Okay. It's the whole story about your McCartney.
At least it made it to the best of since it didn't make it home.
It did make it home. You're going to have to listen back to the best of.
I had an ELO swag bag that did not make it
home. What?
Yes.
Oh, no.
I know. And it's funny because we were with a group of people at the show, and most of them had been to the first show, and everybody agreed that nobody got their swag bag home.
What about the second show? Did you get a swag bag?
I didn't do the VIP thing.
Oh, no. I feel like there's just a solitaire. Well, no, there's because it's not solitaire. There's a couple. Is there a swag bag room for a lost and found? At LCA, you know, it's just full of swag bags that didn't make it home.
Now I remember why the McCartney swag bag
It's in the best of.
Because I was with Matt.
It's in the best of.
And Bruce Kahn. Bruce Kahn is one of Matt's friends. Bruce is like the biggest concert person possibly ever. And I'm sure Bruce gets mentioned here, doesn't
he? Yes, he does.
Yeah. No, he's amazing. He takes a million pictures.
He was the key to the swag bag.
Yeah, Bruce and his beloved Renee, who goes to all the shows. He's seen Clapton like 9,000 times.
Really?
Yeah, Renee's been to every one of them, too.
That's cool.
He travels all over going to shows.
Lucky.
He's a madman. Yeah, he is. He was supposed to set us up with Neil Giraldo.
Oh, really?
From Pat Benatar. Because he's involved in some, I think, a bourbon now.
Really?
Yeah, I know. Bruce, where are you? Where's Neil Giraldo?
That'd be cool to talk to Neil.
I know Patty B was just here with Neil. They're now called Benatar Giraldo.
Really?
It's no longer Pat Benatar.
Patty.
Well, he's married to her, and
I
think he writes the music.
So? You're already married to her.
A nice hide behind a hot babe.
People that need to know. Jeez.
Also, the Tear and Ipsy book about John Norman Collins, which is very timely.
So we're just piggybacking on Walchek.
Yes, Rob Walchek. And part three I'll get to in a second. But first, Luke Nowacki wants you to know many of us are secure with our finances right now, but might not be as prepared as we need to be when planning our future financial obligations. If it's life insurance, college savings, tax-deferred investments, Luke Nowacki can help answer all of your questions and help plan your future finances. The last thing you want in retirement is the juice reminding you that he's letting you drive his car and he pays for everything around here. Hoo-hoo-ha-ha! So call Luke and his team at 248-663-4748. Set up a plan to avoid your retirement future collapsing. Security Investment Advisory Services offered through Royal Associates Incorporated, member FINRA, SIPC, Royal Associates Incorporated, is separately owned and other entities and or marketing names, product services, reference here, independent of Royal Associates Incorporated. So there.
Ooh.
So yeah, the obituary from the show. Oh.
Very sad. We kind of knew it was coming, but
the king of the commode,
King of the commode,
Barney Smith.
Yeah.
How about that?
Passed away.
How about that?
He's here to eulogize himself.
96 or 97?
98.
He's 98.
Yeah. Wow. Oh, we should call. We should call his daughter next week.
Yeah. And she's had time
give
her
best. He's such a sweet
guy. He's a good guy, yeah.
He really was.
And he made it to the spot where you could see his toilet seat museum get moved to
I
a new
never
location.
I thought that would happen.
He didn't either.
I really think we'll hear.
I'm kind of nervous listening back to the best of.
Oh, boy. He was nice.
It was
all good. I think.
I hope.
Okay, so enjoy the best of the Drew and Mike Show.
Rest in peace, Barney.
So the king of the commode, the toilet seat guy,
yeah,
has a party
Saturday. It's his book release.
A book?
He put a book of toilet seats together.
Is it a toilet book?
This guy really loves toilets. He is just determined.
Read on the toilet.
Determined that this toilet seat museum somehow lives in infamy. He's collected 1,350 toilet seats. And he doesn't want anyone taking the toilet seat museum unless they keep all the toilet seats intact. And he's got a bunch of other shit. He sounds like a hoarder to me.
Yeah.
He's got like $1 million in cut up bills by the mint that they cut up $1 million in bills, and I don't know why he has that or who cares.
Oh.
He has some other dumb stuff too. What's his name, Brandon?
Barney Smith.
It's his favorite song. He requested it when Brandon talked to him earlier. Done, you got to look around. Keep on looking until you found
little dots of yellow and brown. Oh. It's really just common courtesy. Eh.
Gross. To clean up your
poop and pee. Hello?
Hello.
Hi, is this the toilet museum?
Yes, it is. When do you want to see it?
Actually, I was hoping to have a minute to talk to the proprietor. This is the Drew and Mike show in Detroit.
Have we talked to him before? I'm sorry, I can't understand what you're saying. You were here when?
I've never been there. I was just calling you from Detroit. Oh. Where do we do a show, the Drew and Mike show?
Do you remember
doing
us?
A night show.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's enough. You got it.
Okay.
And
what do you want to do? Film me and put it on the night show?
Yeah, that'd be great. Yeah, we could film. We could do some
filming.
Start
rolling now.
Yeah, if we had a camera and we could get there, we could do that. But
we can just talk on the phone, sir.
Okay, I'm Barney Smith. I'm the curator and the artist of the Toilet Seat Museum.
No.
Artist of the commode.
You're doing awesome!
The king of the commode.
Yeah, the self-named.
How about that?
That's really funny.
Are you locally here in town?
No, we're in Detroit, Michigan.
Michigan.
Yeah.
You're a long ways from me. I've been up to Mackinac Island.
Oh, nice. Did you ever get a toilet seat from Michigan?
I've got all of the, I was over in Tulip and saw all the parade go by and I took a picture of every float and I've got it on a toilet seat.
Nice.
From Holland, Michigan.
Can I have that one?
I've been across the,
just keep
intact. Big Mackinac Bridge. Our bus went around on the north side. We caught the ferry and went across to Mackinac and stayed there for a few days or a week or so, and then our bus came around on the North Shore, and we caught the ferry and went to the North Shore and came back across the big bridge.
Well, did you get some fudge?
Great story, Grandpa.
What?
Did you get some fudge while you were on Mackinac Island? Fudge?
Do any fudge packing?
I don't remember getting anything in Mackinac Island.
It's poop.
I don't remember what I got in Mackinac.
I wish you could give us a little less of a Cliff Notes version of these events and tell us give us a little more colorful story.
We were there for a short period of time, and we enjoyed it.
Oh, boy, here we go.
Yeah,
that sounds nice. Now, what's the most valuable toilet that you have?
I guess going to the... and you're Israel and picked up the clay and the pottery all over Israel. And whenever I picked up a little piece of clay there in the Cana, I said this could have been one of the jugs that Jesus turned the water into wine.
Wow.
I sure did.
Jesus, wow, water in the wine closet. Nice.
That's pretty cool.
I was talking to London, England, and they said, with over 1,000 toilet seats, do you have the
world's biggest collection?
Nativity scene.
Oh.
And I said that I surely do.
Can't finish your sentence.
He said the very idea, baby Jesus on the toilet seat.
Oh, really?
Oh, lovely.
I said, well, it's in good standing. It's not belittling Christ in any way.
Do you have any celebrity toilet seats? Like maybe the toilet seat Elvis died on or any... any shitter that a famous person once used?
Oh, that's a good question, Mark.
Well, actually, I've got the piece of the airplane that took Aristotle's body back to Greece. I've got the toilet seat out of the airplane that was commissioned to take him back to Greece and bury him, and they sold it for $100,000 and Barry Johnson up in Portland, Oregon. He bought it. And they remodeled it, and he's living in it. Either Barry Johnson or
he's living in the toilet.
Or the other. There's two of them connected with that. One of them is in El Paso now, and he brought the toilet seat down to me and said, "This is the toilet seat that took Aristotle Onassis, the mayor of Jackie Kennedy."
Full circle.
Yeah.
Got a piece of the Berlin Wall.
Whoa, that's not a toilet.
And I've got a rock and a nail from Dachau on the same toilet seat.
Oh, you put them on the toilet seat.
A piece of the original barbed wire from Auschwitz in Poland. Concentration camp on the same seat where the piece of the Berlin Wall is.
Doesn't it hurt when you sit on it?
Yeah, that seems like it might be.
Under Checkpoint Charlie there in Berlin.
Do some people feel a little uncomfortable about the Auschwitz barbed wire being on there? I mean, that's edgy.
Oh, I don't know of anything that.
He's the shock toilet seat.
They've declared that this is the best place that they have been in Texas. Come to the toilet seat museum.
Yeah, it's the number one place.
Been down to the Alamo.
All the people related to the Holocaust said that?
In the toilet seat.
Yeah, no one cares about that Alamo. Yeah.
Okay.
So I'm running the Alamo a little competition, I guess.
Yeah, buddy.
Hey, do you have any toilet...
How about that?
Do you have any toilets?
Cash me outside.
That's pretty cool. How about that? Do you have any toilet seats from maybe sports stadiums around the country?
From the stadiums?
Yeah. You know, like...
How about that?
You know, one of the...
Like AT&T over where the Spurs play or anything. I don't know of any stadium that I've got.
Oh.
Ooh.
What is it, Michigan, there? A large stadium that they... They play in.
Michigan Stadium.
Yeah, Michigan Stadium. The Big House.
I don't have any of the stadiums, no.
Oh, okay. Oh.
Hey, what's the Saddam Hussein toilet?
Saddam Hussein toilet is a piece of the flusher. I don't know how that he's flushing his toilet now because I've got his flusher out of the green zone.
Oh, that's cool.
Hey, how about that?
Flush me outside.
How about that? How about
servicemen are staying down in Baghdad.
What about Greg Popovich? You have Greg Popovich's old shitter?
Well, I've got one from Greg Popovich, the Spurs coach, and he said, "Don't fall in while you're rooting for the Spurs."
Well, that's pretty clever.
Wrote that on the toilet seat and gave to me.
Sounds like a great one.
That's really neat.
You have a book coming out, right, Barney?
What kind?
Do you have a book coming out, Barney? The King of the Commode book?
Yes, I've got one that's coming out on my birthday tomorrow.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you. And I'll be signing the books on Saturday the 26th.
My birthday is the 25th of May.
Where are you signing the books? At a local store there?
No, I'm signing it here in the museum.
Oh, in the museum, of course.
So
you got a little bookstore there.
We're going to have a party out here in the middle of the street.
How about that?
We're going to have to block off the road going down Arbutus in order to keep the traffic from running over somebody that's standing out there in the middle of the street honoring my birthday.
Barney, you are quite a self-promoter, I have to say.
Oh, I love it. And in fact, I'm getting so old until I'm trying to sell it. And you can put it in your itinerary there that it's up for sale. And whoever wants to buy it up in Michigan, they can take it all the way to Michigan if they're going to keep it as a museum piece.
Oh, you won't even ship it? What if I buy it? Will you ship it? We package
it up.
Yeah, cash me outside.
How about that?
Would you, is the book is the book shaped like a toilet seat?
The book isn't shaped like a toilet seat, no.
Oh, that's a, that's a missed opportunity.
Yeah, good idea, Mark.
Good looking book,
thank
though.
You, Drew.
It is a good looking book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've looked at all the pictures that's in it. They did real good in taking the pictures and showing them in, on each page.
Barney, I'm here in Michigan, and I'm going to be here this weekend, and I'm going to be here for, well, for a good while. If I was thinking to myself, you know, I want to get Barney's book, and I want to get it signed by him. Are you making any appearances in Michigan, or do you have something set up where I could actually meet you and get one of my books signed that I bought from you?
Well, you can come down from Michigan and be with me Saturday. After tomorrow.
So this is a one-time only appearance for the book.
How about that?
One-time appearance only.
I see.
That's the only time that I'm going to get to sign my book unless somebody comes into the museum with a book later on and say, well, I bought one of your books. Here, I want you to sign it. There's a bunch of them that were sold before the book ever came out. $30,000 worth of books were sold.
Wow.
I've got quite a showing there on that.
Is the book, Barney, is the book available on Amazon, or could I get it at a, you know, one of the big bookstores?
Bookstore, I'm sure.
Really?
I don't know how many bookstores that the publisher will be putting it into, but look in the bookstore and ask them if they can get and put in their store for sale.
Is Simon & Schuster the publisher?
No.
The publisher is, I forgot what
Cattywampus
company is in Austin.
That sounds about right.
Cattywampus Press.
I think I've heard of them. Seriously.
I think we've interviewed them.
They do some goofy books.
It's on the internet. Who's publishing the book?
Yeah, we're gathering all that information. There's just
look it up and see if you can get a book or so in your bookstores to see if they'll go up in Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Hey, Barney, did you make a Donald Trump toilet seat when he won the election?
I can't understand what you was asking me. If I could make a toilet seat for who?
Did you make a Donald Trump toilet seat? You know, the president?
No, I don't have Donald Trump on one.
How about Obama?
I've got other presidents on there, but not Donald.
How about that?
Which one?
Well,
Obama,
the last president, whoever he was,
the black man.
who was our president? I've lost count of presidents of
no
the
one
United
knows.
States.
No one remembers.
Barack Obama.
The black guy.
Obama. Yeah. I remember Obama's name. Yeah, I've got him on a toilet seat.
How about that?
You do.
And I've got the donkey and the elephant pulling, and they're pulling harder. Their tails are tied together.
Oh, wow.
That is adorable.
And I said, pull harder. Somebody was running for the White House, and I've got pull harder.
Oh.
I am really blown away at what a self-promoter you are, Barney.
I'm so glad that you called me.
Yeah, I am too.
I'm go out and rake some leaves and make my yard look a little bit better for it.
Hire a neighborhood kid to do that, Barney.
I'm getting. I fell in the backyard last night at 10 o'clock, 10:30. I was laying on the ground.
What are you doing outside at 10:30, Barney? You shouldn't be outside.
I was raking leaves.
At 10:30?
Barney.
I rake leaves with one hand and hold on to my walker in the other hand.
Oh, yeah. No. Don't do that, Barney,
I'm
honestly.
I'm old and feeble.
Hire someone to do that. Where do you have kids?
At the age of 97.
Wow.
Barney, how's your wife Louise feel about all this?
Oh, no.
Well, she knew who I was whenever I was working in Tortoise, but she's been gone for 4 years this last January the 19th. And she's left me.
I'm sorry.
Did you commemorate her on a toilet seat?
Well, I've got her stethoscope and her cuff and her name tag. She worked at the Baptist Hospital in downtown Baptist Hospital here in San Antonio.
That's nice.
While I was pastoring a little church down in New Orleans, she worked for the Osner Foundation Hospital.
Yeah, boy.
She loves her nursing.
Not good at cliff notes. I
married my nurse. And she nursed me to health a many a time. And here I am. Whenever the hospice took over and said she'd only got 2 to 4 months to live, she lived for 4 years with me cooking for her.
Wow.
So
but you're
I'm
cooking.
Gonna get some of the credit for her longevity. Hey, how about that?
Longevity, I like that word. Barney, do you have kids?
I've got 3 daughters, or I had 3 daughters. One of them died. Oh, my Lord. Middle daughter died about 2 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
I'm sorry.
So I let her daughter take her mama's place it's all of my inheritance.
Oh, I see.
Your will.
On the will.
Yeah, your will.
Go to my 2 daughters and my granddaughter. Share alike.
I see.
Granddaughter.
That's,
Jimmy,
that means
glad
all,
you shared that.
That means all the toilet seats go to them, right, Barney?
No, the toilet seats will be sold.
Oh.
They will.
I even gave my portrait that Bob Peterson from Iowa fixed for me. Standing out there at the front of my museum, he did a full
size. By the way, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
Of course,
and,
we all know Bob.
I gave that to my daughter. Oh. I said, well, I'm trying to sell the museum, but you can have the portrait if you want it. She said, I'd love to have it.
Hey.
And so I told that to Bob Peterson whenever he came by. And he said, I think that ought to go with the Tortoise Seat Museum. Oh. So I told my daughter, I said, Bob Peterson, the one that did the artwork there.
This is like commissioner.
He thought it ought to be sold with the museum. And I said that, she said, well, you can have it back.
I see.
Bob Peterson called me from Iowa whenever he got back off his trip, and I said, well, I've got good news for you. My daughter
for
gave
Bob Peterson?
Me the permission to give your painting, your artwork there of me to the with the museum. He said, well, thank your daughter for
Who said?
Me.
Oh, that's nice.
Wow. And he could have just said that he gave it to Bob Peterson and he got it back.
The museum wherever he goes.
How about that?
Wherever who goes? Bob Peterson?
No, the museum.
Bob Peterson. He's the one that he's got some stuff in the Iowa museum up there. He does some beautiful work.
Is Bob Peterson disappointed that he's not going to keep the portrait a little bit?
He's the one that did the portrait of me.
Yeah, I thought you were giving it back to him.
Why doesn't Bob Peterson buy the toilet seats?
And my daughter gave it back to me to be sold with the museum.
Oh, that's right.
No one wants Bob Peterson's portrait.
Somehow I got mixed up there in that story.
Hey, Barney, do you have any, like, really risque toilet seats?
Cedar Rapids, I think it is. How
about Bob Peterson's in Cedar Rapids?
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Barney, do you have any, like, risque toilet seats, like maybe the adult section?
I can't understand what your question. Any state what?
Do you have sexy toilet seats?
Inspection?
Yeah, close enough.
Yeah, something like that. Has anyone ever inspected them?
Bobby.
Well, now, are you talking about somebody like the...
Huh?
Oh, what is it? The...
Uh-oh.
ones that inspect the...
Yes.
That's okay.
Yeah, that's
my
right.
My brain has quit working. I've used it too much today until I've got to think about who am I even trying to think about. Homeland Security. Security.
Oh, Homeland Security knows about your museum?
Oh, they have got an office out here in the airport, and they have come by here and they have
they on the clock?
$10 million to protect this from terrorism.
Really?
They're spending some tall tales.
Yeah. $10 million.
Government money well spent.
Yeah.
That's where your tax money goes.
Exactly.
Right.
Down the toilet seat.
To the Homeland Security.
Barney.
And then they give it to me.
Yeah. How about that?
Barney, there's so many questions I could ask right now, but we are running out of time. But I did want to know, have you received any bids for the toilet museum that you think are reasonable?
My daughter is taking care of that. I don't even know a price that has been put on there.
I see.
I've been asked several times what I thought it was worth. I said that I want the people that buys it, I want them to look at it and give me a price of what they think it's worth.
$4,000.
And then she will put it down in the computer, and whenever we get enough bids there to consider, well, I'm leaving it up to my two daughters and my
granddaughter
to look over the prices and wherever it's going and whoever's going to keep it as a museum. And it may not be the high, it's not a bid that you're putting in.
Right.
It's a price that you want to give. And the lowest price may be where it's going, because it'll be going and it'll be kept as a museum.
That's all
legacy of me.
Oh, that's
he wants
one.
A museum. Yeah. Wants it intact.
Oh, that's my life's legacy.
Aw.
That's beautiful. That's really sweet. You know, hopefully you can just give me a number answer here.
No way.
How many bids have you received?
I've got 1,000 visitors a year that have come in, and I've got 83, I think it is, foreign countries that have been to my museum.
Oh, that have been there.
And visitors. My guest book.
Yeah, no, I was wondering if anyone, again, hopefully this is, answer will be a number. Has anyone, how many people have bid to buy the Toilet Seat Museum?
I don't know.
You don't
my
know.
Daughter is taking care of that.
Yeah, and granddaughter?
My youngest daughter, the one that I gave the portrait to, that she
gave back to
me.
Right.
So she's taking care of that. Julia
Carter, what a nice picture that is. Look at that.
Okay.
The Bob Peterson portrait.
Well, if you wanted to put in a bid for it or find somebody that's up there that's interested in it, tell them that I'll give them my daughter's telephone number, and they can call her and find out, give the bid to her or the price.
Should we talk to her maybe?
Let her jot it down
and
tell her what they want to do with the museum.
Okay.
Gotcha.
How about that?
Could you hang on just 1 minute, Barney? And
I'm here.
Brandon's going to ask you for the phone number off the air. Okay. So you
and
don't,
my phone number of my no, daughter.
Don't, yeah, yeah. He's gonna. Don't say it now. It. Don't say it yet.
Okay,
Brandon's gonna.
I've got to.
Hang on. Another guy.
A book is.
Some guy is gonna pick up and ask it for ask you for it. Okay.
Okay. I'm gonna
hang on.
Right. By, but I'm going after her phone number.
Okay, you go get it.
Okay.
Thank you, Barney.
Happy birthday.
Bye, Bernie.
Happy birthday.
Happy
Barney.
Birthday. No more raking leaves.
Bye, no Barney.
I go out there and pick up my rake leaves at the rake till 10 o'clock last night.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
I gotta pick them up.
Right.
No, let someone else do that.
Bye, Barney.
Bye, Barney.
Bye.
Get that number.
Lay my telephone down here just a minute.
Okay.
Get my book here.
That'd be beautiful.
In my lap.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, let me see you. Or her telephone number
okay, Brandon.
Is.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, just bottom him know.
Her name is Julia Martyrs.
Oh, boy.
Julia?
M-A-R-D-E-R-S.
Yes.
Martyrs.
M-A-R-D-E-R-S. Julie Martyrs.
She sounds
and
hot.
Her telephone number is 210.
210.
Area code 210.
Yep. Got it.
Okay.
That's 210.
That's awesome. Fantastic, Barney. Good luck to you, my friend.
All righty. Thank you for calling.
Very
and
nice.
And I want to hear from you. I want to know that somebody up there in Michigan would love to see them. I hope that there's a lot of geocachers because they come in here like crazy. I've got 12 toilet seats hanging up there in the museum. I can hardly breathe because I've got 2 crack ribs.
Oh,
I cracked them about a month ago or
stop doing so
ago.
Much.
And yeah. I'm recuperating from 2 crack ribs.
Barney, stop doing so much. Yeah. Relax.
Oh, I've got to keep a doing because I don't have much longer to do it.
Oh,
I've got to keep a doing it.
Well, you
got
to stay on your feet till your party on Saturday, all right?
I'm looking forward for a whole group of people here helping me advertise my book. And,
I couldn't hear that last part. The connection just got really bad.
I'd like to see all of you back here in San Antonio.
Well, we'd love to see you, Barney, and it's been so nice talking. You have a great night.
All righty.
Okay?
Thank you for calling.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
You have a good night now.
Bye, Barney.
Bye. Barney, you too.
Bye, Barney.
See ya.
All righty. Bye-bye okay. to all
bye-bye
of you.
Bye-bye,
bye-bye
Barney.
Bye now.
See ya. How about that?
Bye.
Oh, bye. Oh, Trudy, damn it.
Oh, man.
Who's going this time? Drew
damn
got
it.
The last one, I think.
Oh boy. What a sweetheart.
God, Barney is awesome.
Something else.
Why,
I mean,
look at this dude, by the way. He looks exactly like he sounds.
Is that he's in his garage?
The happiest man with toilets you'd ever see.
So is that by appointment?
Yes. Yeah, you have to call before
so
you go.
So you just like ring
it.
The bell. Can you show me the toilet museum?
Guess what, though? He's always there.
Oh, I bet. If he's not mowing the lawn.
Why is he raking leaves? That's really bothering me.
With a cane. With a cane.
Yeah.
Or his
he's
walker.
He's just trying to prove that he's like
he got nobody tough. Else to help him.
Oh, Barney kicks ass. Here's a picture.
Fucking granddaughter step up and rake the leaves. By the way, it's
shit.
May. Who rakes leaves in May?
Look at this picture.
Texas.
Look at this picture from a news article. You can tell he's fallen before. He's all bloody. His arms all cut up. He's got a bandage all over his head, but he's talking about
poor
toilets.
Guy. He's 97 on Friday, right?
Yeah.
He's great.
Barney.
It's taking him 6 months to rake the backyard.
I know. He's out there every night. Wiping out.
Can't we just
raking
hire somebody
with one hand
in San Antonio to go over and weed? Just
how about that?
Leaf blow his yard.
Wiping out.
Wouldn't you think a I would think a neighbor kid would come over and help out.
Give him $20.
I wonder,
a free toilet seat.
Can't Popovich hired out for him?
Yeah. He's got a pop.
Jeez.
I wonder.
How about that?
Does he charge for the museum?
No, it's free.
It's free to
he
go to the museum.
He just likes having people.
I know, and he does not give a shit what the bid is. If they'll keep the collection together, it's his legacy, as he said.
I have a feeling Bob Peterson spends a lot of time trying to get off the phone.
Well, he does not have a bit of Cliff Notes in him. There's no Cliff Notes to anything. That story about
he's
the portrait
lonely.
Going here, there, and everywhere, and back to him is like, oh, my God, I could have shortened it. I mean, I was hearing the shorter version in my head as he was telling it.
In fact, you know what? During our Facebook Live, I think there was somebody that commented that said, I went to that museum, and I talked to Barney, and I loved Barney.
What? No way.
Yeah, because I think Zoov's put it in the preview, just the typed-up thing for the Facebook page.
Yeah, this guy's he's been around.
What's
he's,
the least amount of time you think you can spend there?
Well, you have to talk to him.
Exactly.
So at least 45 minutes. I would 45
minutes? 45
minutes. A Jackson's Quadrant.
That's how long it 45 takes to get
minutes.
Through the threshold.
Is that one Jackson?
Yes.
The
there's one Jackson.
Measurement, one
45
Jackson.
Minutes.
Oh, man.
Just like a Mandy Moore.
Oh, shit.
I'm looking at Bob Peterson's Southwest Arch.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I think I bet this guy has met a lot of people. He is a character.
And how long has he been doing? Is this
50 years? I think. Yeah. He told his promised his wife he'd stop at 500, and he has 1,350.
Blew right by that, and then she dies.
What does the neighborhood cook for? What does the neighborhood think about the have the toilet museum?
Well,
no.
And it's all going to overflow onto the street, he said.
Well, TSA is right across the street, and they're supportive of
that's
it.
Right.
Like, you know, those guys just have a blast going over there and talking to Barney.
They drop $10 million on it to protect it from
Anytime
terrorists.
Things get too intense, they just go visit with Barney to loosen up.
Hey, I got
to
tell you, he's got a 4.7 on Google reviews.
Really?
Barney Smith's Toilet Seat Art Museum, yeah.
There's got to be a good funny review in there.
I love Barney.
He has no one-star reviews.
No, I mean, funny. Even a 5-star could be good with in his case, because there's bound to be a story about Barney.
Some ass just gave it 2 stars. Just wrote,
what?
Not what I expected. And I bet he thought they were like famous toilet seats, not art on toilet seats. The guy's got spunk. A unique museum or garage with dozens of unusually decorated toilet seat covers. Make sure you cover yourself in mosquito repellent before you go. Oh, Barney's got a mosquito problem.
Aw.
Jesus. 3 stars. By appointment. Limited hours.
Ooh.
Oh, this person says, plan for 1 hour. It's the smallest garage. Yes, that is to talk to Barney.
1 hour? Yeah. Oh, because you're going to talk to Barney?
Yeah. It's in his garage. Best part is this historical narrative. Every seat has a history.
Yeah, boy.
Park along the street. Plan for 1 hour.
Well, I hope somebody shows up for the book signing.
Me too. I'm sure. I think that he's a big staple in that community. Yeah, they probably love him there. I mean, he's a nice guy. How about
that? He's a cool old cat.
Get a room with him, Brandon.
I love him. I love Martin.
I'm disappointed there are no signings in Michigan.
Look, he's, well, he's really going to get on a plane and come to Michigan.
I'd go.
Book signing.
Go hang with Barney. I'm dying to see the book.
I kind of want to buy the book.
Listen to this review. 5 stars. I took my 11-year-old grandson here. We both loved it. Barney's a great guy who loves to tell you all about his toilet seats. He had fallen the night before we got there, and we were there for a doctor's visit. He didn't want us to leave.
Oh, man, somebody needs to adopt him.
Hey, Mrs. Louise.
Yeah.
He's probably married for 70 years.
Man.
She died 4 years ago. He would have been 93. I think they're married forever.
Can we
you know what his real job was before he started?
What?
A plumber.
Of course.
Makes sense.
What?
He fell in love.
A master plumber.
Would the Henry Ford maybe take this collection?
We should buy it. Put it upstairs.
No.
What?
No. That's
you should be Barney.
That's too junky for even my house.
We could put all over the safe rooms back here.
Well, maybe we should just... No, maybe we should make our own toilet seat and send it to him. He'll hang it up.
Oh, no.
Oh, with the logo.
He would.
You and, see how...
But then everyone will have to hear about it. I'd rather spare the people the time. Jeez.
When you were gone yesterday, Bentley and I were talking about your swag bag.
Oh, yeah.
Because you sent us a picture of your swag bag. And I just love the idea of you and Riley
walking around
with matching bags that have glittery words on them. That's
take a look.
Paul McCartney.
This is really funny. If you pay for the sound check tickets, which cost significantly more.
Did you post this picture of this yet?
I did not. I'll put that on Twitter.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe Mark will make
the
picture for the show.
Wow, the guitar clock. That's amazing.
Yeah, that's kind of cool. Yeah.
Wait. What is it? Let me see.
It's a guitar clock.
That is never getting unwrapped.
Unless somebody else unwraps it.
Yeah, you are not going to unwrap. That was part of the speculation yesterday, is how long that swag bag would sit in your front room. And it's not that you don't want it, you just don't need it.
It almost didn't make it home, because this is really funny. Matt and Bruce and Bruce's wife, Matt and Bruce were, the questions were flying. As I said, they were so everything about sound. You know, can we take beer out? Can we not take? Wait, he says we can't take beer out. She says we can't take beer out. Hey, those guys have beer, and they won't let us take beer. I mean, it was like nonstop. There were a lot of, but they were all things I was interested in. I just wasn't really asking.
Wait a second. Matt asked all those questions on the tour we did about where you could go out, and you're talking about out of the arena area.
No, for sound check.
Oh, okay.
We had beer in this private room. It was the players' lounge, I think, and And some people escaped with their beer before they said, no beer. And so it's kind of like, well, I got to take beer. You know, but you're talking about people who are old enough, you'd think they would sort of. But no, I they wanted their beer. They wanted to, they were manufacturing the correct buzz for the show. I had total respect, max respect. But anyway, Bruce was obsessed with, I can't carry this bag. This bag, oh my God, this bag, it's so big. What am I going to do with it? I can't carry this around for five. Because we were there at 4:30. The show started at 8:20. So it was like,
exhausting.
How can I carry this bag around for? So he actually found a concession stand where he knew someone and asked them if they could keep the bags during the show.
Oh, wow.
But of course, I was leaving the show and I completely forgot they were at the concession stand. And Matt said something because I was leaving right the second to last song. Uh-huh. I was going to catch it on the way out and then whatever.
Right.
So Matt says, I'll get your swag bag for you. I was like, great idea. And he did, and it's here because he brought it over.
Your swag bag also has a giant blue and black Paul McCartney. Is that a bath towel?
I think it's a blanket.
Oh, a blanket.
Yes.
Because it feels like terry cloth, almost feels like a towel, but I was trying to.
That's cute. He gave blankies out.
I'm not sure what it is, Trudy.
Toweling off with that.
It could be a towel. I would go with your opinion.
There was a lady with a blanket, and she took it and she put it over his face.
Anyway, as far as the arena,
cool.
The sound was really good. I thought the sound was great.
Is it? Yeah. Yeah, I thought it was three rows, yeah. That'd be bad if it wasn't great.
Well, I hear it was great everywhere else, too. From what I can tell, I thought the sound was good. I also went for beer a couple times, so I did hear it from various standpoints. The sound was very good. It's supposed to be very good. It was very good. The arena looks great from the outside, from the inside. There's a lot of advertising.
Oh, yeah.
But that's life.
Yeah.
Right. That's, you know, the pay, the bills.
The courtyard where they're going to have bands and stuff.
Yeah, that was really cool.
It had the giant styrofoam things or whatever they were. Yeah, that's all concreted over, and it looks very nice. And there's no smoking anywhere, though.
Really?
No, not in the beer garden. None. And I didn't see anyone smoking either.
Not even outside? I thought there's not a smoker's porch?
No smoking anywhere.
Wow. Yeah. So where'd you sneak it?
I didn't.
Wow.
Actually, it's funny. When they're smoking bands, I don't feel the need to fight it because I sort of feel like, well, it just keeps me from smoking. I'm trying to quit, so it's not a bad thing. Although that was a long time. It was a long time.
Your pictures were phenomenal. I want that jacket that he's wearing. You know, he has that.
Yeah, that is really cool.
Military jacket with the buttons. And stuff.
It looks Beatley to me.
Yes, very cool.
I didn't see the picture. I don't really care to look at people's concert pictures, but I want to see this jacket.
Pictures are some pretty good pictures.
Some great pictures.
I know. Imagine what the concert was like.
There we go.
You're just jealous. Jelly. Wow.
Where do you get those? Are those epaulets on the side?
Yeah.
He's got rank.
This jacket is awesome. Actually, ooh, and it's tighter than dick skin.
He earns the right to wear something like that way over David Miscavige or any of those ridiculous
the
people.
General of rock.
That collarless look is very cool.
Yeah, that's cool. Very Beatles. Very Beatles.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
He looks so good.
I gotta tell you, he opened up with Hard Day's Night, which is a John Lennon song.
With the twang.
Yeah, the twang was perfect.
That's kind of a cool way to start.
Note, which is one of the most famous notes in rock and roll. Mm-hmm. And he sang it well. Of course, he sings the middle part, when I'm home. Because John Lennon couldn't hit that note, and George Martin said, well, Paul can probably hit it, which John Lennon was very angered by. But anyway, it's one of the songs.
Don't you go dying on me.
Oh.
They do share a lead vocal on it. So, and then Junior's Farm, which I've never heard him play live.
Oh, my God.
One of my favorite Paul McCartney songs. And you know what was really cool for the benefit of Mr. Kite?
Oh, I love that song.
God. And that's a Lennon song too, but he really nailed it. And the lasers and whatever they put on the screen fits the song perfectly. There's a lot of Beatles stuff, but you know, like for Jet, they had Jets flying through the air spelling Jet, you know, with the Conrails. Yeah, really cool stuff. It's a really good show.
He did 4 or 5 seconds. Cool.
He did. You know what? That song.
That song.
He kind of struggled with the notes on that. That's the one song I would say if he struggled with anything, it was that. And I've seen him struggle with that before. I think he should drop it.
Do you like that song?
Not terribly.
I don't either.
I do kind of like hearing him sing. It sounds to me like his song.
Well.
Even when Rihanna sings it, it sounds like a Paul McCartney song to me.
He's just got better ones.
Was there anything you didn't like?
Yeah, that stupid song for Nancy, his fiancée.
Oh.
What?
You know, he did the song, the album Standards. It's my, my Valentine, I think.
Oh, God.
And he sang a couple songs from the last record, which I assume are just bathroom songs because everyone goes to the bathroom. Like, there's got to be something in a 39 songs. Oh, God.
That's a bummer about being in love and musically talented.
Yeah.
Does he ever
write a song about something that will be pointless to everyone else? What if it
rains? He has bad picks with women, doesn't he? We
didn't this girl, I think, is attractive, okay. Actually. I think she might be the best pick he's made, physically speaking.
Wow.
She's about 25 years younger.
We all know the worst one.
Yeah. Well, Heather didn't look bad, but, oh, God, what a nightmare. Jeez. I think he got sucked in by the charity angle.
Oh, that's cool. Johnny Depp's in this video. Neat.
Wait, is he signing in it?
Yeah.
Yeah. And oh. Natalie Portman, too. Yeah, that's
part. That part I don't mind.
That was on the giant stage. I know, it's really kind of whatever.
I just want to point out, too, let me go back to this, that Johnny Depp is wearing 1, 2, 3, 5 rings. a bunch of, like, bracelets and necklaces. Two scarves. And he's got a bunch of earrings.
Wow.
Who wants to wear that much crap?
I know. There's a Halloween costume idea for you, though.
It yeah. Like smells.
Hey, Greg.
Hey, hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing real well. It's a beautiful day out here in San Diego.
Wonderful. I regret to say that I did not get a copy of Terran Ypsilanti because I went to Books A Million and another bookstore, and they weren't carrying it. If I had thought a couple days ahead, I would have ordered it, and I planned to because I'm a big true crime guy. Probably read every Ann Rule book, and I'm looking forward to this, too.
Yeah, well, I would have sent you one. Sent a couple emails saying, "Yeah, you know, give me an address." So somewhere
somebody clearly dropped the ball on our end.
No problem.
It's okay. We know the story well, though. In fact, I read the original book on this. And Mark, did you read the original book too, the Keys book?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 3 times.
And I guess you know the obvious question is what did you feel could be gained by updating this? And I'm perfectly happy to read about it again, by the way. I was fascinated by this story. But why did you feel this story should be remade? Of course, it's been years and years since it was written before, but what is there new to talk about?
Well, I felt that the Michigan murders by Edward Keys unintentionally did a disservice to the history of this story by changing the names of not only victims, but also the name of the man accused of killing these girls. Oh. And, you know, the first time I read it, somewhat naive of the entire situation, even though I lived in Ypsilanti at the time. 10, 20 years later, I read it again, and it didn't hold up as well. And then when the new edition of it came out, I believe in 2005, I read it again, and it just seemed to play fast and loose with some of the facts, and probably the most egregious thing about it is that it makes assumptions and presumptions about Collins, his motives, his relations with his family, and also some of the attitudes towards the girls. I thought the story was more lurid than it had to be.
Okay. I think it's a great reason because, honestly, I remember that, and Mark brought that up the other day, and I'd never understood why he changed the names anyway. Why would nobody does that in true crime that I'm aware of?
Well, in the introduction, if you go back and read that, he does give an explanation. And I think he was trying to be deferential to the families, but I also think by writing a novelization of it, that it freed him up a little bit to make connections that maybe weren't really there. And, you know, in the interest of telling a story with a beginning, a middle, and an end.
Yeah, that doesn't do much for me, but I'm glad I'm looking forward to reading this book. And I'm real interested in what have we found out about John Norman Collins since he went to prison? What kind of a prisoner has he been? Because I understand he's been a real headache for them. Can you tell us more about that?
Well, my book is Terran Ypsilanti is in 3 parts, and the 3rd part is about his prison years. And
great.
I got that information from the Michigan Department of Corrections. My researcher Robin Ryan M. Place FOIA'd, Freedom of Information Act information from that organization that gave, if you read between the lines, a more definitive view of who Collins is the person. He has his own letters and complaints that he writes to the warden and so on and so forth. And you really get a feel for him as an individual because he was a mystery man, really. You know, 2 years he was elusive. The next year and a half it took for the court case to work itself through, and he didn't say much there. Very inscrutable, and it wasn't until he had really exercised every option to get out of prison, every appeal, then he started reaching out to the press, and you start getting a feel for how his mind works, what's important to him, how he deals with authority, and, you know, you can go on from there.
Did he have multiple...
The real gap in the story, I'm not doing a soliloquy here, but I'll wrap it up. The real gap in the story is that there is no psychological evidence profiling reports on him, and he consistently refuses psychological treatment. And so it's a guessing game.
Is he? How many escapes has he attempted?
Well, attempted, it's hard to say. I'm going to say two. He was implicated as helping in an escape from Jackson Prison. And that and a number of other infractions resulted in him going to Marquette. He was also associated with a tunneling attempt at Marquette Prison up in the UP, and six other people and Collins. When we FOIA'd that information, found that there was nothing about the actual case. It was, in fact, a tunnel, I think 17 feet deep, that was dug through the sandstone. But for some
that's
reason...
It's not bad. I mean, it's 17 feet. That's a long way.
They should let him go almost
Collins
to
was,
the end.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, and Collins was not caught red-handed with a shovel or a pick or anything like that. And I looked into it a little more deeply. Every one of the other people involved with that tunneling attempt were sent out to different Michigan prisons, all except Collins. And for whatever reason, I don't know what conclusions you can draw from that. But I did get an email from somebody in the Marquette area that said that what she thought happened was that Collins had his lawyer... you know, defend him, and there really wasn't strong evidence. And so probably all of the information regarding that incident was purged from their files because the Michigan Department of Corrections was very open in giving us material. So why is that material not there? Hmm. And there has to be some reason, and I don't pretend to know, but... So when he asked the question, he was associated with two prison attempts.
So,
but,
Greg,
neither one
choose
of
the answer.
Yeah, Greg, have you talked to John Norman Collins, or have you corresponded with him?
I have corresponded with him. He has written me once. I've probably written him four or five times. He has not spoken to me directly, but except for the one letter. He uses intermediaries, and generally it's a woman that is writing him or calling him or sending him money, and he will ask her to, you know, contact me or kind of, you know, be a go-between. So there's been that sort of third party.
Is this a girlfriend?
A girlfriend, this woman...
like the ladies' man.
I thought she was his girlfriend, and I think wanted more of a permanent relationship with Collins.
Well, that shouldn't be that hard to get, you wouldn't think.
But it did not happen, and it makes no sense for him.
Has he had a lot of girlfriends over the years? I mean, it seems like these guys always do, and I know he thinks he's hot.
I think that he has had many admirers, a lot of them ladies, and I have spoken with a few. A couple of them actually have given me some of his prison letters, and if I ever write a second book on this topic, it will be on that.
Oh, my God. We need to hear him
now. This won't help us promote Taryn Ypsilanti, which, of course, is your book out currently, and I'm sure there's plenty of interest in that. But, gee, can you tell us something about the letters, just something?
Well, I've got about four catches of letters. Yeah, I can tell you a little bit, but here's the problem with the letters. You know, given current copywriting laws, Collins is the copyright holder of his letters.
Paraphrase.
And I wrote 100. I have 150 pages written already.
What?
But a lawyer said, you know, there's an issue called fair use.
Yeah.
And
we know all about fair use.
Sounds fair to me.
Yeah, well, I guess
in the audio world,
around it, or you know, I'll be hanging myself.
So what'd they say?
Pardon me.
So can you tell us? Can you tell us anything? Paraphrase, or I mean,
well, yeah, I can. I got a major catch of letters from
his cousin
in Canada, and John was trying to get out on a international transfer for the second time. He tried it 20 years before, and so he was putting pressure on his last blood relative, who happened to get in touch with me because of my blog, and I write about Collins, and he says, I'm Collins' first cousin, and do you want to talk with me?
Ooh.
Anyway, cut to the chase, he gave me half a dozen or so of John's letters just to give me a sense of where John was in time right now, and he tried to manipulate the cousin to sponsor him for this Canadian international prisoner transfer.
An anchor.
And he was afraid, the Canadian cousin was afraid. He lives with his mom. And he flat out asked me, he says, do you think John would hurt me or my mother?
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well,
he's in prison for life.
I said, I can't, really say, but I wouldn't let him, live in my house.
go home to mommy.
So that's that one. The lady who still talks with him on the phone, he calls her every Tuesday. That's an ongoing relationship. She got very afraid because the tone in some of his letters was becoming more violent and graphic as the correspondence went on.
Really?
Did you see her letters?
Yeah, the letters that he wrote to her about some of the girls. We had asked her, when I say we, Ryan Place and I, to ask him some questions, and we wrote a bunch of questions. He was using her as an intermediary. And so he answered some questions, and they were not answers that I had any confidence of being true. Some were outrageous responses to things, and I think he was just trying to confound us because he really has a problem with the truth. He's a compulsive liar, and he's proved that through the decades. some of the things he mentioned, I think, were calculated to shock, and they did. They scared her, so she started giving me his letters. And there are a couple of other people, but those two catches of letters are the most dramatic.
Greg, he wrote about his victims then?
He said small little clipped answers to some questions.
Because he's never admitted that he did any of that.
No, but let me give you an example, and I have the documentation for it. About one of the girls, underage, Marilyn Skelton, she was barely 16 years old when she died, 20 days she was 16, so a minor, and he writes to this woman and says, oh, yes, I knew Marilyn Skelton, which nobody has ever heard him say before in writing or speech. Oh, yeah, I knew Marilyn Skelton. I had sex with her, but she was a minor, so I didn't tell anybody.
Oh, God.
You know, now.
Wow.
I have no corroboration for that. I don't know why he would say that. I think maybe for the shock effect. Because he enjoyed when he was dating in college, overreacting to things, making some of his dates very uncomfortable.
Have you heard from any of them?
Pardon me?
Have you heard from any of those women who had
dated him? Oh, sure. Yes, I have.
Dates.
And, you know, it's interesting because there are those women who say, oh, he was a nice guy and he dated some of my sorority sisters and so on. And I think Collins, that was part of his protective coloration, being in the fraternity, wearing a tie, having short hair, dating women from the Sigma Nu, I think maybe a Sigma Phi, I don't remember what the sorority was, but they tended to be the sister sorority with the Theta Chi's, and Collins was with them for a year or so until he got kicked out for stealing from their entertainment fund. But,
well, just an all-around scumbag, huh?
Well, he is a compulsive thief, too, and this is something that started in his high school days. I talked to very few people in Centerline, where he's from, will talk about this still, but several of his high school friends did come forward in confidence and, you know, told their anecdotes about Collins. So he didn't one day at Eastern have some problem, bounce his head off a brick wall or something, and then he became a serial killer. He was a weird little dude probably his whole life.
Wow. The book's Terran Ypsilanti, and we're talking to the author, Greg Fournier. And Terran Ypsilanti, of course, the story of John Norman Collins, who committed... Well, he was found guilty of one murder, but actually it was a number of women, six.
Seven.
Seven.
Well, seven. I'm confident that the seven that he is tagged with now, he committed all of them. But
yeah, because wasn't there a question with the number three?
Yeah, yeah, someone else was convicted in 2005,
yeah,
I thought.
Yeah.
That makes that's the wrench in the whole story here. The third person was... a graduate U of M student, Jane Mixer. She was found in 2005 to have been murdered by Gary Earl Leiterman, who, you know, has been in jail now for 10 years and claims that he's innocent. And it was a cold DNA hit that linked him to her murder. Well, I pulled her out of the original canon of seven murders. I didn't, but, you know, history did. And but then I substitute a murder in California that is a slam dunk against Collins. Mm-hmm. Roxy Phillips was murdered out in Salinas, California. So if you drop her into that slot, we still have seven girls.
So you think he did do the one in California then?
No, I know he did the one in California.
Okay.
What was he doing in California, you know, being a young guy like he was?
He was trying to get out of town because things were getting hot.
Oh, okay.
He had just had at the time the police didn't know this, but Alice Callum, another U of M graduate, was murdered, and things got very, very hot in the Ypsilanti area, and he felt that. Him and his friend, a work friend who was a career criminal, burglar, and so on, the two of them fraudulently rented a trailer with a forged check, went out to California with no thought of bringing the trailer back, and they were hanging out in the trailer parked in back of Andrew Manuel's grandfather's house, Andrew Manuel being the Collins' friend. And about a week into the trip, Roxy Phillips is murdered, and two or three days later, Collins takes his car to Tolan Oldsmobile, has the trailer hitch taken off, has the car serviced, that's all documented, and him and Andrew Manuel then headed back for Michigan. They had to get out of California because it was getting hot there, too.
Was the other guy, did he participate in the murder? Did he know?
I don't believe he participated in the murder, but, of course, I don't know. I do know that he had to participate as an accessory after the fact. The trailer was totally wiped clean of prints inside and out, everything taken out of the trailer. The forensic investigators found nothing. And you don't drive a trailer across country without leaving a fingerprint on there. So that's circumstantial evidence on the face of it. It doesn't make him a murderer, but it doesn't look good.
Well, where did he learn how to do that? Because it seems like he did that at several of his crime scenes.
To do what specifically?
To basically clean the scene up afterward.
Wipe fingerprints.
Wipe it down, yeah.
Yeah, well, actually...
Like he's Dexter.
There are only two places in all of the seven murders that police felt that they had the murder scene. And then one was the Dawn Basem murder, the 13-year-old from Ypsilanti, and they found her murder site. But it was outside, and it wasn't cleaned up. Police found a length of electrical cord used to strangle her. They found her sweater and other clothing items. But it was not a cleaned-up crime scene. And the other was the Karen Sue Beineman murder, the one that took place in the basement and that Collins was convicted of. There was an attempt to clean up the crime scene there. And
that failed miserably.
His fatal flaw was using black spray paint to spray over what turned out to be dried drops of varnish on the floor. And I got to go into that house. In fact, when I was in Ypsilanti last week, the man who lives in the house now invited me to come back and go through it again. And it's very you can read about it. It's a very small basement divided in half, a Michigan basement.
Yeah, yep.
Very claustrophobic and still has the power to creep you out to be down there.
Well, this guy, looking at pictures of him now, creeps everyone out. He is just the freakiest looking guy. I have to believe that would be an incredible interview if you could get it to be face to face with this guy, and I'm sure that's something you'd probably.
Well, I had a Detroit News reporter, Kim Kozlowski, write an article. For the news a week ago or so, and she had written him and I about the book, what his reaction was, and so on and so forth, and he never responded back to her, but he did. So this is within the last week or two, a couple weeks. He did write a letter to the editor, and so he's quoted as. Saying that, I never interviewed him. How do I know what he thinks and what he feels? If he doesn't want to share that, it's hard for me to know what he thinks or feels. People who don't want to be understood often work very hard at confounding anyone who tries to, find out what's behind the mask.
Well, he can say whatever he wants. There was so much evidence. And not to mention that, the first murder, he wants to take a picture of the girl at the funeral home.
And
he did take a picture.
And that man, Harold Britton, was the attendant then. He attended one of my book talks last week and came up, shook my hand. He saw smiles. He felt very good about finally getting the story out there. And it was mentioned in the Michigan murders also. I think the people who were involved in the story, it's been long enough, many of them don't fear Collins, so they allowed me to use their real name.
So people, they really feared this guy, even though he's put away for life with no chance of getting out, still there was this fear of him.
There is still a fear with many people, and typically women, but even some men, but women who experienced the time had nothing necessarily directly to do with Collins, but they grew up during that time, and they remember their parents, grounding them, essentially, not letting them go out when it got dark at night, always trying to know who their friends are, where they're going. And this left a lasting impression on many of these women. But again, some of them have come forward and said, this book, now that it's out, I'm able to talk about these things. I want my grandchildren to know, and et cetera. So I've been very, very pleased with the reception and the people of Ypsilanti. I talked to before about 300 of them in two different venues.
Ooh.
And they just very, very happy that the story is finally out there.
Did
as a nonfiction.
Did California have the death penalty when he could have been extradited there?
Yes, that was an issue in the press.
Oh.
Some people thought that our governor, Michigan Governor Milliken, was Roman Catholic, and he had some problems with
sending
Collins. But he denied that, you know. But
he had more problems with killing seven women.
Yeah, exactly.
Murder would be worse. Yeah.
And why did they only convict him of one of these? I mean, surely there was enough evidence to convict him of more.
Oh, yeah, three or four of them. It's somewhat of a long story, and I do go into it in the book, but I'll try to truncate it.
We'll go with the book version.
The prosecutor had an earlier case. I'll
be back.
I don't know the name of the case, and you wouldn't either. But no. had a case, and there were two or three murders, whatever. And so all three of the murder cases were tried. Through some change in sentencing laws from the Michigan legislature, this guy was able on appeal to get out of prison. And Delhi, the prosecutor, had nothing else to charge the man for. And he felt terrible that there was this terrible man walking around free to commit, you know, more atrocities. Well, fast forward another 10 or 20 years, and he's got the Collins case. So they had to slam dunk on, I think, on Karen Sue Bynum. And it was a long trial. It was an expensive trial. And nobody was anxious to go through the same sort of machinations a second time. They felt that we had our guy. He's in prison. That's the main thing.
That's interesting. So none of the other victims' families feel like justice wasn't served because they're, you know,
imagine they all did. But here's the other part, difficulty in telling this story. None of the families wanted to talk to me except the first family, the family of Mary Fleischer, the first victim.
Yeah. Why wouldn't they want to talk to you if they didn't have the feeling of justice of having him found guilty of those things? Why wouldn't they want to talk to you? That would seem to give them an outlet.
Because there have been many people coming along wanting to write stories, magazine articles, newspaper articles. And because the details are so horrific that the I believe the families were just traumatized and absolutely they did not want to have anything to do with it. They didn't want to think about it. They don't know me from anybody. One of the families, a daughter of one of the victims, basically called me a carpetbagger. I'm doing this for the money.
Yeah.
But there's no money in selling books.
So I don't know
where people get that idea. There's money if you can sell the rights. But selling books, unless you sell tens of thousands, millions.
Yeah, can you sell the rights?
Are you going to
sell money?
Would you sell the rights, though? I mean,
that's right.
Why not?
I would sell some of the rights, but not all of the rights. I'm really protective of the story, and because I am not, you know, I'm 68 or will be soon, and
so
I'm not thinking, I'm starting my career, and I got another 10, 15, 20 years of career in front of me.
You got to finish that other book, too.
I wrote this book as a one and done, and mainly because I was so moved by the story, and I felt that there was a debt that was owed to history. And I feel like I'm a success beyond what I had anticipated. All of my goals have been met with this book.
Well, great. In the article you mentioned with the Detroit News, there's a little blurb at the end that John Norman Collins actually has a copy of the Michigan Murders. So did you send him a copy of Terror in Ypsilanti, and do you want him to read the book?
No, I have not sent him a copy. I did send him a copy of my first book and just kind of an introduction as to who I am.
He's going
to
murder
me. And when he wrote me, he ironically said, "Hey, I really liked your novel, Zug Island." And
well, get a room with him, jeez.
Yeah, an endorsement. That's just between us. I don't want that to get out.
No worries.
Fine.
But no, I'm not going to send him a copy.
Does
not want a copy, although he has many people willing to send him whatever he wants. Books,
yeah, that's right.
The, so on.
Yeah. What is this? Are these all the women that just want a boyfriend? I mean, it's amazing. It always happens. I mean, John Gacy had women going after him. He liked sex with teenage male runaways, and yet these women are trying to hit on him. It made no sense whatsoever. Yeah, but there's always a line of women.
It's crazy, but, you know, I don't want to get into that so much because, you know, it's tricky. I don't know why some women have such a need, and anything I would say.
They want to be able to brag about their boyfriend who's a seven-time murderer.
Their famous boyfriend. Yes.
What an empty boast.
I know. Well, they're needy and want attention.
Needy. They're okay.
And they want someone safe. You know, he can't cheat on them because he's in prison.
Nor can he murder them.
No,
they're
not.
Actually, this one woman I was telling you about that he was writing, she was the go-between. Mm-hmm. She said, well, at least I know where he is at night.
Mm. Get on your knees. What a loser.
One of her earlier marriages.
So the one thing I noticed reading about this is the mom and his sister were so convinced of his innocence. And they grew up with him. How did they not know he was a serial killer?
No, well, I think maybe it was just too hard for the mom to fathom. I think the daughter had been afraid of her brother because there are stories of him hitting her with one thing or another beating up a boyfriend and one thing or another, which, by the way, I could not corroborate any of that. Huh. It was part of, like, the mythology of John Collins, but there's no record of her going to the emergency in the hospital and all of this kind of stuff. But I did get to talk with one of John Collins' nieces, actually a couple of his nieces, and one of them was telling me that her grandmother, which would be John's sister, was deathly afraid of Collins, hadn't written him or seen him for quite a few years, and every time he does try to write, usually it's about money. So,
a loser.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to read the book. Looking forward to it. In fact, if you won't mind hanging on to talk to Jay so we can get a copy. I look forward to it, and maybe we can talk again. If you write the other book, too, we'd love to hear about all that. I know you're limited in what you can say, but the book's called Taryn Ypsilanti. Greg Fournier, thanks so much for the time, and I hope you have great success with the book.
Thanks so much for having me on. I appreciate it.
You bet.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks for your time.
Bye, Greg.
Bye-bye.
All right.
What's in those letters?
Oh, I know. God, would that be fascinating. Well, there's a whole book in him. We know that.
You know, he hinted at something, too. And we kind of talked about it. It's not just that they murder these women. They were tortured. I mean, they're gruesome.
Oh, yeah.
Gruesome murders.
I just, you know, I can't help but think those girlfriends knew something or something was up with this guy.
Isn't this Dahmer-esque? Because didn't Dahmer's family, we're perfectly normal people.
Oh, yeah.
Don't know how that happened. All of a sudden, he's Dahmer's out there father. Torturing cats, and then he turned it into young Asian
drilling
men.
Holes in people's heads.
Right.
Yeah, so, Dahmer had a lot of history, though, that indicated something weird was coming. I mean, he was killing animals when he was a kid. And at grandma's house, he was doing some pretty crazy stuff.
I got to say, this is wild, though. Nobody wants to talk about John Norman Collins.
I know, it's
not
amazing.
That grew up with him. I kind of understand the
he
victim's
freaks
families
people out.
A little bit,
well,
but yeah.
That
but,
picture,
you know, I was reading.
That changes if he dies, when he dies?
Yeah, maybe. I read a story about Son of Sam and those people, the victims' families. They were talking about Son of Sam. They were afraid of him.
He's a load.
I know, but he killed seven people one summer in Lover's Lanes in New York. Wow. I mean, he terrorized that city, but he wasn't. When they found him, you know, through a parking ticket, and he had all that clippings in his apartment. I mean, there was no. He just basically said, "Okay, you got me." It was one of those things. He didn't even fight it. But now he's found God.
Ugh.
And
what?
Yeah,
he has.
And he's a big load too. Well, he's a fat ass.
Didn't he talk to a dog before, so it doesn't?
Yeah, Sam.
It's not a stretch that he's now talking to God.
God, yeah.
There you go.
I mean, not that those two are connected, but he's always talking to someone.
He just shot people, right?
Yeah, he shot him. Yeah, sure did. And he.
Not that one murder's better than the other, but this is way worse.
Oh. He had a few people that survived too.
Yeah.
But, yeah, he was,
did
that was a terrifying thing.
Did anybody survive him?
There was a survivor, wasn't there?
For John Norman Collins?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Someone that got away?
He seemed really sloppy, though. I mean, he was spotted all the time.
He was asking all those women that one day when he picked up his last victim on the motorcycle, mm-hmm. and he kept trying to, you know, get all these women to get on the motorcycle with him. Those are all women who could have been.
Yeah.
Imagine if you were one of them.
I remember talking to my mom about this a long time because they lived in Toledo, Ohio, but they were freaked out there because, you know, college age.
Yeah.
You know, she was that age. And just, yeah, people were freaked out, man. So women would have been aware of him.
Yeah, it was really amazing when the Son of Sam thing was going on because the whole nation was hearing about that. That was headline news everywhere because it was New York probably, and also it was a huge case. But still, there were people going out to lovers' lanes and making out, and I mean, people
were
so horny. God, get over your genitals.
Hey, we can't help sometimes when you're hard, Drew.
Willing to risk death to take care of your genitals. What's the matter with you? Son of Sam's out there, you idiot.
Oh, there's plenty of people today that would risk death for certain sex.
Oh, yeah. No, I read about this cop who was saying, you know, he would pull up on couples. He'd go, would you get the fuck out of here, you horny idiots? Go home and ball at home. What's wrong with you?
But my mom
lives
there.
Son of Sam's out there.
Wow.
My mom might walk in.
Parents should have permitted it.
Yeah.
Just in the interest of saving their children.
Mom, you want me to die or what? My girlfriend come over.
All right, listen, I want you to know, honey, if you want to ball your boyfriend, do it right here in our home. We don't want you out there doing it in the car.
Ball
where
your
Sam
boyfriend.
Is.
What? How does that work?
You want to get balled? You want to get balled by your boyfriend?
Oh, okay.
Whatever. Oh, boy, that is just such a freaky story. And that guy still, he does freak people out. I mean, you take one look at his current picture and you go, oh! Oh!
Oh, my God.
You don't like my idea, though, when they caught him digging the tunnel? Or any prisoner. If you dig the tunnel, they should just let him keep digging it.
And, yeah, until he gets to the very end.
And then just wait to the end when he breaks out.
And just wait when he breaks through, wave, hi! Yeah,
let him have that 10 seconds of, holy shit, I did it. And then just arrest him again.
Just tackle him as soon as he gets
through.
Yeah. Yeah.
Tackle him.
The minute he breaks through.
Yeah, why not, right?
I can't believe chicks are in love with him.
I don't know. What is with him?
I think he's handsome.
He thinks he's hot. He wasn't really handsome then.
They want to be the one who can change him.
Yeah, they don't want to fix him. He's a real piece of work, but I think I can do it.
Oh, that's just Johnny.